Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
We open up your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 91. Anyone come ready to receive something this morning? We've been in a series called Psalms for the Summer. This is a series that I like to do. I'm going to probably start doing it. It's probably an annual thing that I do until we preach every single psalm that's in there. So we got a good ways to go, okay? This is a four-week series, and we were last week. I love ministering last week, and we're going to continue in the Psalms. And the Lord brought this one to my memory as I was studying. This is a very personal psalm for me, so please excuse me today. If there might be moments where I get emotional, there might be moments that I feel certain things in a moment. But today we're going to be under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and we are just going to preach the word with conviction, and we're going to preach the word with power. And my prayer today is that you get something this morning and that you find a level of freedom through this psalm today. If you're looking for a series title, Psalms for the Summer, Worship, Wisdom, and the Wild Middle. And if you want a subtitle today for this, I want you to look at somebody and say, do it scared. Y'all went, what? That don't make no sense. I'll show you today, okay? I'm going to show you in Scripture today. We're going to read Psalm 91 real quickly. I'm going to read the whole passage. Y'all just stay with me because I want to read this whole thing, and then we're going to jump into certain texts. How many of you have ever read Psalm 91 before? Anybody ever read Psalm 91 before? Awesome. Quite a few of you. If this is your first time, man, I encourage you, buckle up because this is a good one right here. It says this, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and Him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Verse 8, "Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked." Remember, we talked a little bit about that last week. No one mourns the wicked. Whenever we are looking around and we see everybody else who might be in sin and doing things wrongly and continuing on in the wrong things, but they're seeing God's blessing in their life, listen, there's a different reward that is on the way for them. But listen, for those that are righteous, those that are following after God, for those that are continuing to do the right thing, even in the face of adversity, there's a better reward on the other side. Amen. Hey, let's continue on here. It says this in verse 9, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. Lord, may the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight today, God. I ask for your spirit to move and speak to every heart in this room. Lord, I thank you. There's freedom in the spirit of the Lord today. So God, make my tongue ready like a ready and skillful writer to speak and utter the words that you want said this morning. Let every ear be open to hear the understanding of the revelation knowledge of your word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Psalm 91 is a powerful text, and sometimes whenever you're dealing with fear or anxiety, I want to encourage you today to go read this, but now I'm also praying that I can bring some context to where you live through this text this morning to make you understand what this is actually speaking of. But first, let's talk about the context of the actual scripture. Psalm 91 is an anonymous writing. Many scholars, there is debate on whether it might be Moses that's actually writing it or possibly David, but either way, we see that apparently this is someone, the person who's writing is someone who obviously needs some sort of refuge. It needs some sort of safe place. And this psalm is not some sort of blind optimism. It's not just saying some things and declaring some things, hoping for the best. This is a prophetic declaration of who God is in our life. And if you see, we'll get to it in a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself already. But if you see, in verse 14, there is a change in the text. And it goes from saying, from the psalmist actually saying this, to now God is speaking this over them. With long life, I will. This is God speaking now over whoever is writing this. And so the cool thing is this, and this is where we can put ourselves in the place, if you will, of the psalmist, is that it acknowledges real threats, okay? It acknowledges real things that happen in the world. It is not putting our head in the sand, acting like nothing's going on, that nothing bad is happening, that there's no terror, there's no evil. It actually is acknowledging that there's plague, that there's arrows, that there's terror, that there's traps. But through it all, the message is clear. At the very beginning of the text, it's clear. It talks about those who stay close to God stay close to safety. Those who stay close to God find protection and provision. They find the presence of the, when you find the presence of the Lord is where you're going to find the protection of the Lord. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me ask you a question today. Have any of you ever felt exposed before, maybe vulnerable before? Anybody ever felt spiritually unsafe or spiritually vulnerable before? You know God is good, but at the same time, you keep hearing fear scream loud. Anybody ever been in that situation where you know God's good, you know He's protector, but fear is screaming in your ear? Anybody ever been there before, okay? We know He's present, but we also are struggling with peace. If you've been there before, I've been there. I'll give you personal testimony in just a little bit. But what I want you to understand today, first of all, you may want to write this down, is that His shadow is your shelter. Amen? Say, His shadow is your shelter. Hear me, the safest place is not a location, it's proximity to the Spirit. It's proximity to His presence. Psalm 91:1, those who dwell in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me say it like this. It is impossible to be in someone's shadow without being close to them. Hear me. It is impossible to be under the shelter of God if you are not close to His Spirit. If you are not walking with Him daily, if you are not longing after His presence, if you are not asking God to be with you every single day, it is impossible for you to draw close to the shadow of God, because you have to be close to God in order to be under His shadow. Shadow equals a coverage, and secret place equals intimacy. So in order to find the shadow or the coverage, guess what? We have to be found in the secret place, or we have to be found in an intimate state with God. But not only that, He who dwells, dwell means to remain. So he who remains in an intimate state with the Father finds shelter, is the way that we could translate this. So hear me today, you've got to actually remain in a state of asking God to be with you every day. There needs to be communion with God every day. And even whenever you're facing things that are scary, even when you're facing things that seem fearful, even when you're facing all these things, guess what? That does not mean that God is not near. I'm going to show you this in text today, I promise you. We don't just visit the secret place when life gets bad. We should live there daily. But the truth is this, we often treat God like a panic button. Huh? You might know what I'm talking about? Stuff not going right. Oh, Jesus! I need you, Jesus, right now! And then everything's good. And we don't have a care in the world anymore for our relationship with the Lord. We're going to go do our own thing until we find ourselves in a byproduct of our dumb decisions. Well, huh? Before we... Then we find ourselves in this place, and they're like, God, I need you. And God's like, dude, why'd you do that? We treat God like a panic button. Say, God, I need you whenever things are tough, but whenever everything's good, you're good. I'm comfortable right now. But things are rough right now. Financially, I'm scared. God, there's some things that are tight. I need you, God. I need you to be my provider. You're like, Yeah, well, maybe if you were practicing the principles of the word. And I'm not. I'm just going to let you know, I'm probably not finishing this today. Okay. Oh, glory. Hear me. I'm not even talking about tithing. You're not even generous. See, because generosity is what actually fuels you to be someone who tithes. Tithers are generous people. Well, he provides seed to the sower. So it starts with a heart of generosity. This message isn't on tithing, but here it is. It starts with generosity. That's where it begins. You're like, God, I'm in a hard financial situation right now. I need you to just show up. And God's like, then practice the principles of the word. Draw near and close to me. See, whenever you're near to God, that means that you are obeying the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is not is not schizophrenic. Whatever the scripture says is the Spirit of God. Jesus was the Word made flesh walking, and now we have the Word of God, and now we are to obey the Word of the Lord. And as a byproduct of obeying the Word of the Lord, that means that we are walking out the Word made flesh, which means we are becoming more like Jesus. Huh? You with me? Somebody like, huh? Could you put that on a whiteboard, please, Pastor? Like, no, I'm not that kind of teacher. You just got to listen, okay? Go back and listen to the podcast. We treat God like the panic button. But when in comfortable seasons, our relationship with him disappears. And sometimes we want God's protection, though, without his presence. But hear me, his protection is found in his presence. The truth is this. Even Jesus says this. That in this world you have trials and tribulations. In other words, this. God never promises a storm-free life. God never promises. Just because you live for him doesn't mean you're never going to face anything. Doesn't mean you're never going to face any trials or situations or problems or even steps of faith. Because the truth is this, we'll get to this in a minute, steps of faith are scary. And if you don't think they're scary, that probably means you've never taken a real step of faith. You've taken steps of knowledge. When everything was perfect, then you're going to step out. But if there's, I don't know if there's anybody else in the room that's had to take a step of faith and be scared in the midst of the step. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. My God, you sure about that? You sure about that? Are you sure about that? You sure I need to walk out on the water right now? That storm looks very, very, very much unsettling. Yeah, step out. Do it anyways. Do it scared. Hear me. Peace isn't the absence of trouble. It is the presence of God. Psalm 91, 5 and 6. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. The psalm lists all these things. Anybody ever had night terrors? Anybody had nighttime panics? That's what this text is talking about. Anybody had daytime panics? Anxiety attacks? Anybody ever been scared in the middle of the day? Anybody ever been scared of something that's not even real? Oh, don't even look. Y'all know you have monsters in your closet growing up. Boogeyman was under your bed. You jumped in bed like. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There was a Disney Channel movie that came out a long time ago, okay? It was called Don't Look Under the Bed. That movie wrecked me in the worst way. I could not go to bed. This was me. I'd look around. Look under the bed. I didn't have a bed skirt on my bed, so I look under the bed because the whole premise of the movie was the boogeyman was living under the bed and grabbed the kids and pulled them into the. I did not like it. Kids, don't go watch it. And I look around. I hit the light switch, run, and just poof, plop on my bed. I'm good now. Boogeyman can't get me now. Okay. The truth is, we've had invisible dangers. There's been things that we've been afraid of before. Our mind plays tricks on us, for lack of better words. The promise isn't that these things won't exist. It's that you don't have to live in fear to them. I'm going to say that again. The promise is not that these things do not exist. The promise is that I don't have to allow fear to take root in my life because I know God watches over me and protects me. The enemy throws fear like arrows, but hear me, they can't pierce you whenever you are protected. Jesus never promised perfect conditions, but he did promise a constant friendship and a constant companionship. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And the truth is this, sometimes we have to do things even when we're scared. Sometimes you got to walk by faith while your knees are shaking. Sometimes you got to walk in the spirit like this. Lord. Jesus. I'm not catching the Holy Ghost. I'm just a little concerned right now, God. Sometimes you got to walk in the spirit with knees shaking. Because if not, you'll walk in the flesh. And then you fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we're called to be people who walk in the spirit that don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we got to walk sometimes with our knees still shaking. So let me teach you something this morning, because oftentimes we do this. We say being scared and fear are the same thing. And I want to break that for you, that mindset for you this morning, okay? Because I think that's where a lot of us get it wrong. And there's been psychological studies done on this. I'm going to share one with you this morning, actually about this. But I want you to understand that there's a difference between something that could be scary or a scary moment and actually letting the spirit of fear grab hold of you and grab root within your, and put roots within your life to where now you, every decision that you make, now everything that you do, and this could happen in a lot of ways. This could come from being raised in a home maybe that was a lot of poverty in your home. That can bring fear within your life, fear of not having provision in your future. This can happen from a moment of you, understand I'm about to say this, but maybe a moment of you making some decisions that opened doors to the spirit of fear on your own. You did things, and now whenever one moment happens, now every time something like that happens again, now I am fearful and every decision I make is based on this one thing. Hear me, people of God. You were not created to live as a slave to fear. You were not created to be a slave to the fear of man, the fear of problems, the fear of provision, the fear of anything, any of those things. God promises to be close, and he is everything that you ever need. And we have to live with that understanding that I don't have to be afraid because he is with me. The truth is this, scary moments are real. Diagnoses happen. Transitions take place. Maybe you step into a new job. That can be scary, right? Maybe you have a big job transition. Maybe you've had to make a big move for your family and your kids are dealing with some unsettling. Or maybe you are a little bit scared about the move. Or maybe you just moved and there's still some settling in and there's still some scary moments you have. Maybe for some of you kids in this room, as we're about to go into school, maybe it's starting in a new school. Maybe you're going into middle school. Or maybe you're going into a high school. Or maybe you're going into college. Or maybe you're going into that career path or you're looking at that option as a career path. Hear me, the truth is it can be scary at times. But we're not called to live there and be driven by fear. Being scared is natural, but fear takes roots. And when it does, it'll build a house in your mind and it's going to move in with all its cousins. Fear's going to move in with his cousin, Bubba Doubt. Huh? And it's going to move in with sister insecurity. And it's going to move in with the cousin of delay. It's going to move in with these different cousins, and it's going to create havoc within your life. And you want to know why I can stand here and say this? I've lived it. I lived for a year with the spirit of fear controlling my every decision. Couldn't sleep at night for a year in my own home. I'll give you the story in just a few minutes. First year of Pastor Chelsea and I's marriage. Supposed to be newlywed year. Supposed to be the honeymoon phase. We didn't have a honeymoon phase. You know why? Because something scary happened. And when it happened, instead of standing up, I'm being vulnerable in this pulpit this morning, instead of saying, no, I'm not going to allow this to rule my life. As a matter of fact, I did the exact opposite. When the thing took place, I looked at Pastor Chelsea and I said, I'm never sleeping in this house again. Some of the first words came out of my mouth. Don't tell me words don't have power. Because I tell you what, We struggled for the first year of our marriage because we couldn't sleep in our own home at night. We were gone to a hotel. We were gone to my parents' house, gone to this place, gone. The first year of our marriage, somebody else had to come over and stay the night because I was scared. I was letting the spirit of fear rule my family, rule my life, and rule my every decision. And I tell you what, that was the worst year of my life. That's a horrible place to be. And if you're in this room today and you're struggling with that, I want you to find freedom today. And I remember Pastor Chelsea looking at me one night saying, you got to sleep here scared. We got to do it scared. You got to sleep here. And it was that night that the spirit of fear broke off my life. It was that night where God set me free, and I haven't dealt with that since. I will. I'm getting there. Pastor Chelsea trying to tell me, I didn't tell you why. I'll give you the context in a minute, I promise. I'm going to make you think about it for a minute. This is called building suspense. Okay? The truth is this, that fear and being scared trigger the same systems in your body, which is often why we say fear and being scared are the same. According to studies, I'm going to butcher this because I am not a doctor. The amygdala lights up. Your stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline surge. Your heart begins to race when something fearful or scary happens. Your knees are weak. Your palms are sweaty. Mom's spaghetti. Okay? It's true, though. Your knees get weak and your palms begin to sweat. This is what happens when fear or scary moments happen. This is scientific. And I'm gonna show you something. Think about it. God is a perfect creator. And he actually, understand why I say this. There's a reason that God gave you that emotion. He made it that way for a reason. It wasn't so fear could rule your life, but it's so that you would know to rely on him in a different kind of way. And so these things take place. Yes, that happens. But the problem is not that your body is doing what it's supposed to be doing. That's not the problem. The problem becomes when our brain doesn't turn off that alarm. When we allow that alarm to continue, that's whenever fear becomes paralyzing. When the brain processes a momentary feeling, being scared, as an ongoing threat, that's whenever it becomes fear or becomes a problem. When it started with, I'm scared, then it turns into, I'm not safe. That's whenever it becomes a problem. And then what happens is this, what happens in a moment becomes our mindset. We let a scary moment become a fearful mindset. It's not how God wants you to live. That's not how he designed you to be. And then, I don't know if anybody else has done this. Here you go. This is what we do next. We start rehearsing the worst case scenarios, right? We don't start thinking about, oh, God's protecting me. We're like, oh no, this is what's gonna happen next. Now I ain't gonna have no money. I'm gonna be broke. And then we'll be on the side of the street. And then all this, or then someone else is gonna come try to break into our house and then he's actually gonna be successful. And then something far worse is going to take place. That's what happened with us. First year of our marriage, I grew up in a home where we never had anything like that take place. Pastor Chelsea grew up in a home where that was another Tuesday night, where someone would show up and try to break into your home. It really wasn't actually like another Tuesday night, but she had lived through moments like that. I never lived through a moment like that. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, or 1 or 2 in the morning. Pastor Chelsea and I, we've been married for maybe 2 months, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, somebody begins to try to break into our house. I jumped up out of the bed. Of course, I was asleep, actually, and Pastor Chelsea woke me up, which was even worse. She's like, hey, somebody tried to break in. I was like, what? Get in the closet. Threw her in the closet. Not really. Said, lock the door. So she locked herself in the closet. Sorry if you don't like this. I don't have guns. I have kitchen knives and a bat, I think, you know. And I said, get in the closet. And we lived out kind of in the country at the time. And she goes in there. I look out. Sure enough, I peek. And somebody at the side lights. And they got some sort of foreign object. And they are pounding away at the glass, trying to break the glass on our side lights. And the only thing I knew to do, lock the door, lock the closet door, and stay in there and try to hide. And that's what we did. And I can remember telling Pastor Chelsea time and time again, I'm never sleeping in this house again. We called 911, took about 25 minutes. The person finally went away, wasn't successful or anything like that. Had no evidence, no anything after that. But then it went, like I said, I went and told her numerous times, I will never sleep in this house again, because my mind, every time I tried to go to sleep, I started going through the worst case scenarios. Well, this is what's going to happen. I would look at her and tell her, I know this, is, I can feel it. I know it's, because fear is oppressive. And if you never lived with the spirit of fear, man, let's continue that. I don't want you to live with the spirit of fear, but for anybody in this room that has lived with the spirit of fear or is currently living with the spirit of fear, it is oppressive. And it begins to rule and control your every single step. And it creates greater problems. This is what a scientific study says about fear. It says, fear becomes toxic when we avoid the thing we fear and reinforce the belief that it controls us. This is a scientific study of the mind. One of the leading studiers, his name is Joseph Ledeau. He is a top brain scientist at NYU. He spent over 30 years studying on how fear works in the brain, and especially when how your mind responds to danger. And so, in other words, what this scientific study is saying is this: avoiding fear makes it stronger. We want to avoid fear. I don't want to deal with fear. You know what? This reminds me of a story. There was this guy standing on a battlefield. He's saying, hey, look how big and strong I am. I have killed many, many people. And there's a whole army that is hiding from this guy. You know what I'm talking about? Goliath. There's a whole army that is riddled with fear, afraid to step out onto the battlefield, won't actually face Goliath. And because of that, Goliath is becoming stronger by the minute and is, understand what it says, creating a greater stronghold in the minds of these strong men. But it takes one person to show up with one word and one stone to see Goliath come down. But what it took was that person to show up, step up. You got to think, I'm way ahead of myself. You got to think for a minute. David, if you go study David's life, David was probably not the picture of a strong man. Meaning this, whenever he was being anointed, Samuel said, no, surely it's not that guy. He probably was a smaller stature man. And Goliath was not. So you got to think for a moment. When David's stepping out, there's got to be at least a little bit of, you know what I'm talking about? When you got to make that step of faith. Here we go. There had to be some little bit of unsettling moment that took place, even in the midst of Goliath yelling that this is who I am, look how strong I am. But still, David looks at Goliath and says a different word to him, right? We'll get to that in just a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. So avoiding fear makes it stronger. We see that even the top neuroscientists, people who don't even preach the gospel, will tell you, according to studies on the brain, that fear gains ground when you avoid what God told you to face. But when you step into it, even shaking, you're retraining your mind and stepping into freedom, actually. When you do it scared, your brain starts rewiring. And you prove to your own system that, yes, I felt fear, but I wasn't ruled by it. You're telling your soul to line up with the spirit, is what you're doing. And you're saying, though I felt this way, I'm not going to be ruled by it. And then, so then the next time you have to face an obstacle that's similar, you know what happens? Your mind goes, your soul goes, the spirit is stronger in this situation. You are not ruled by fear. You face one situation, surely you can face another situation. And then when it happens again, you do it all over again. This is how courage is built. It's not by the absence of fear, but by the presence of being obedient to the word of God. Amen? Y'all get something out of this morning. Stay with me. So, according to studies, then we see that doing things while scared can actually rewire the brain to associate faith with courage and action instead of paralysis. The Bible doesn't say you'll never be scared. It says don't be afraid. Or I'll say like this to you today. Don't let fear become your shepherd. And I fear that we have a lot of Christians that have allowed fear. They know the voice of fear greater than the voice of the good shepherd. And now because of that, we are shepherded by fear rather than shepherded by the Spirit. We are shepherded. And I'm not talking about just laying down at night. I'm talking about you are shepherded by the fear of man. Yes. You won't live out your life as a Christian because you're too afraid what fuddy-duddy might say about you. And now you know the voice of fear better than the voice of the good shepherd. You won't step out and do the thing that you know that God has called you and told you to do because you allow fear to be louder in your life than what the Spirit of God is telling you, and now fear has become your shepherd. What voice are you listening to? The voice of the good shepherd who has spoken a better word over your life? Or are we constantly being shepherded by the spirit of fear? I'm concerned, though, that, like I said, we have many in the body of Christ who know the voice of fear better than the voice of the good shepherd. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us this. We know the scripture, God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. In other words, it means this. This is telling us that fear is more than a feeling. It's a spirit. And here's another issue. Glory to God. If we act like fear is just a feeling, we will be enslaved to the spirit of fear. You have to recognize, you better recognize the spirit of fear whenever it shows up, because it's not just a feeling. Scared is the feeling, fear is the spirit. A scary thing takes place, but fear takes hold. And we've got to learn to recognize whenever those things take place and reject the spirit of fear, because if not, it starts building roots within our life. You see this in Mark chapter 4, verse 40. We see that whenever Jesus is there in the boat and he rebukes the waves and all these things, and he looks at the disciples and he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Jesus, yes, he calms the storm, and he rebukes the fear. He doesn't rebuke the natural feeling or alarm of the waves crashing. What he rebukes is the spirit of fear. And so the spirit of fear, it shut down the disciples' faith. And oftentimes, we are in that same boat. We allow the spirit of fear to begin to rebuke the spirit of faith. Whenever the spirit of faith is called to rebuke the spirit of fear. And rebuking the spirit of fear is trusting God and moving forward in what he has said over you and told you and called you to do. You can write this down, that faith doesn't mean you're not afraid. It means fear doesn't get the final say. Faith doesn't mean you're not afraid. It means fear doesn't get the final say in your life. I also believe that we need to continue to speak in faith. Psalm 91:2, it said this, it said, "I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust." Notice he says, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I'll trust. And then he does acknowledge, once again, the things that are taking place are happening. But first off, he acknowledges that he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. The psalmist doesn't just believe it quietly, but he declares it loudly, because this is the truth. Faith has a voice, and faith is to come out of your mouth. You are supposed to declare in faith what you are desiring to see. It's a declaration that we are called to make as Christians, and this psalmist is making this declaration, not his description. He is reacting. Listen, he's not reacting just to what he's feeling in a moment. What he is doing is he's declaring what he already knows about God. It's easy to just respond in a way of this is what's happening and just state the obvious, okay? We can look around and see the obvious things that are transpiring in our life that are fearful or scary situations, but it takes a different kind of boldness and courage to declare to the thing that is scaring us that this is what God is for me, and I will see victory in this situation. And you have to be somebody who will declare in faith over your fear and over the scary situations a better word in accordance to the word of God. Now, here's the truth. When fear gets loud, you've got to begin to speak up. Because silence is agreement. So if fear is talking, your faith better interrupt. Listen, some of y'all are good interrupters. Anybody in this room have a problem with interrupting somebody? Not everybody, elbow your spouse or your friend. As good as you are interrupting other people, start interrupting fear. Don't allow it to keep shouting in your ear. You begin to speak a better word. You interrupt it with the word of God. You interrupt it with what the Spirit of God is saying. Because the truth is this, your words shape your reality. And what we speak is what we're going to see take place within our life. So you can't just think peaceful thoughts. You got to begin to declare peaceful things. You don't just read Psalm 91. You proclaim it over your house. You proclaim it over your mind. You proclaim it over your week. Because hear me, your words steer your spirit. You can write that down. That your words steer your spirit. As I said earlier, whenever Pastor Chelsea and I had that moment take place, my words steered my spirit. And my words were not in alignment with the word of God. I'll never sleep in this house again. I'll never sleep in this house again. We will sell this house. We'll do whatever we got to do, but I am not sleeping here again. That's a wild, that's, to me, now, see, 12, 13 years later, me, thinking back on this one, that is wild. That's actually crazy. But whenever fear is screaming loud, if you're not careful, you'll just begin to declare what fear is saying rather than declare the better word. And it began to steer our life, steer our decisions, steer what we did. And so what we did next, though, is because I said a moment ago, you know, we got to begin to declare in faith. You know what we did? I printed out all of Psalm 91. And maybe somebody in this room, this is what you need to do. I don't even know how many papers we had throughout our house of Psalm 91. I had it under my doorstep. I had it under my pillow. I had it under my mattress. I had it under my bed. I had it in the mirror when getting ready in the morning. I had it on the fridge. I had it in the cars. I had it everywhere. And every time, about everywhere I looked, I had to see Psalm 91 over and over again. I had to continue to rehearse the word of God. I had to continue to speak the word of God. Because hear me, if you don't speak a better word, you're going to continue to speak the same dumb word. You're going to keep speaking the same thing over your life, the same problem, the same fearful situation, the same issue, the same poverty, the same lack, the same doubt, the same unbelief, the same division. You're going to continue to speak those things if you don't find a better word to speak. So let me encourage you today. Whatever you're facing, maybe you need to print out some scripture and place it around your life. Maybe you need to make it your lock screen on your phone. Maybe you need to put it under your, maybe you put it under your kids' sheets that are saying, hey, mom, dad, I can't sleep at night. Maybe you need to go in. Maybe you need to go in and actually declare that over them. Maybe you need to go in there and put it in their pillow. Maybe you need to go remind them, hey, read this, or let me read it with you. You've got to begin to speak a better word and continue to declare it, because this is the truth, and I don't have this on the screen, but you want to write this down. It's that God's voice is a game changer. It's a game-changing voice, man. I said it earlier, but the tone of this text completely shifts at the end. Psalm 91, 14 through 16, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is a shifting, game-changing moment as he writes this, because God steps in the middle of the pestilence, in the middle of the problems, in the middle of the terror, in the middle of the scary situations, and he says, I will do this. This is a reminder for you today, church, that God will deliver you, that God will set you free, that God will intervene and step into the situation. And when God speaks something, let me just let you know something, that absolutely seals it. And he doesn't say because they were perfect. It doesn't say because this person was perfect. It says because they loved me, because they said their love. Listen, if you love God, you will draw close to him. And when you're close to him, let's go back to the beginning. That's where you find the shelter. Whenever you dwell in the presence of the Lord, means that you love God. So therefore, I will deliver him. I will satisfy him with long life. I will do this and I will do that. This is what the scripture says. This is a promise from God. So when God talks, listen, the storm's got to shut up. demons got to back down. And fear's got to lose its traction in your life. This isn't about staying safe. It's about being seen and spoken to over and by the one who made the promise. I'm going to say like this too. Proximity is how you hear God. If you want to hear him speak, I will, I will, I will, then you got to get close to him. I give you a powerful word to write down for you today. And that is this. When God speaks over you, hell's words have no power against you. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. When God speaks over you, hell's words have no power against you. Because this is the truth. One word from God will outlast 1,000 attacks from the enemy. One word over your life will outlast 1,000 attacks from the enemy. Let's go back to David just for a second. Goliath is out speaking. He's jawing. He's yapping, as the kids say today. He's out there yapping. And he's saying, listen, chat. You're welcome, youth. Listen, chat. I got the sauce. I got the skills. I'm bringing a little for the younger. I got the skills to pay the bills. I'm bringing for the older crowd now. I've got power. You guys are nothing in comparison to me. And Goliath continues to speak this for days. What's it take? One person to step up and say something that is the better word, the word of God against Goliath, and then take some action and do it scared. What am I saying? Is that one word, you speaking one word from God, will outlast the attacks and the words that the enemy's been jawing and saying and yelling and going after for years in your life. You need to step up and say one word. No, God will protect me. God will deliver me. With long life, God will satisfy me. I've been given authority over all the authority of hell and darkness. And listen, you are under my feet. Scripture says, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but devil, you can't touch this. This is how we live. We live in a state of understanding victory because we are close to the victor who is God. Amen. So what did I come to tell you today? Do it scared. I'm struggling financially. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm struggling financially. And I'm scared to be generous. Do it scared. Do it scared. Pastor, I can't sleep at night. Pray. We did this too. There's nothing that we did. I turned on scripture at night. I listen to scripture as we're going to sleep. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm going to give you this real quick. Is that the night that I found freedom over fear, and we had to do it scared, was this. So what took place? Is that in the middle of that, the enemy, hear me, whenever you go to take that next step of faith to overcome fear, the enemy is going. He's going to try to release an onslaught attack of the enemy. But we're not ignorant of the enemy's vices and the way he does things. He's a dumb devil. He's been doing the same thing for the same way for a long time. Okay? And I remember we said, we're sleeping here tonight. We're doing it. We're gonna sleep here. We're gonna go to bed. You know what happened next? Literally could not speak. Pastor Chelsea was trying to talk to me. I couldn't utter a word. Spirit of fear had gripped me so much that literally I could not speak. And I can remember Pastor Chelsea called my parents. Pastor Robert Stacy said, "Hey, let's go on, Micah. We're not leaving tonight. Basically, can y'all come over and pray or whatever? Because we're staying here." And They got in the car. They drove over. We also called counselors that we've been going to for a while, who are also pastors in our Panama City church. And I can remember they prayed with me on the phone, had me on speaker, and Pastor Eva McGowey said, excuse me. Remember, she said, Micah, I just need you to say Jesus. I just need you to say Jesus. If you can't say anything else, I understand. I just need you to say Jesus right now. And she began to say Jesus. Pastor Chelsea began to say Jesus. Pastor Paul, who was also on the phone, began to say Jesus. And we kept speaking the name. Listen, the name that has all power and authority. His name is already the better word. I don't have to have all the other words always, but his name is already the better word. And it was like a bubbling up took place. It was, and I'm not going to do it because I'll deafen your ears, but I shouted. It was like from a mute to just a resounding Jesus. And in that moment, fear broke. In that moment, I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus, okay? Now I'm going to come to a close. I'm going to give you these four practical steps from the message real quickly. You can write these down. So what is the steps we need to take to overcome fear? Number one, stay under the shadow. So don't just run to God in crisis, but live close. Live in the secret place. Worship, pray, listen to the Lord. Let that be your default, not your emergency backup. Number two is this, speak until you see it. Keep speaking. The truth is this, that silence is surrender to the spirit of fear. So we got to speak a better word. You got to speak the name of Jesus. You got to speak scripture. Psalm 91 isn't just comfort, it's a weapon that God's given to us to declare against the powers of darkness. Number three is this, do the thing even if you're scared. Just don't do it alone. What do I mean by that? Truth is this, fear might still be in the room, but that does not mean it gets to run your life. Take the step, do what God's called you to do, obey the word, and know that he is with you as you take the step. You're not doing it alone. He's there, ever-present help in the time of trouble. And number four, and last thing is this, you need to let his voice get louder than fear. You need to let the voice of the Lord be louder than the spirit of fear. Because the truth is, fear will yell, and fear is very loud. Goliath was loud, but David had a word. And you need to get back to what God has already said and move forward with that echoing in your spirit. Pastor Donnie, come play. Now, I didn't get to get off too much on this, but I'll say this. What I'm not saying is do something stupid and say, I'm doing it scared. No, God did not tell you to go quit your job tomorrow, okay, and be a couch potato, and he's just going to provide your every need because you don't want to work. No, don't do that scared because that's just stupid, okay? But when you have a word from the Lord, when you know this is what God's calling you to do, when you know that this is the way that God is calling you to live and desires for you to live, and there's something that is hindering that from taking place, you face that fear, even if it's steps of faith with knees shaking. You face that fear, and you say, Goliath, you've been out here saying a lot of stuff, but today, fear, you're coming down. I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm not dealing with the sleepless nights anymore. I'm not dealing with the spirit of depression and anxiety on my life anymore. I'm not dealing with the family drama and problems that I've been having anymore. We're going to have the unity of the spirit in our house. I'm not going to continue to deal with harassment and attacks of the enemy. I'm not going to continue to deal with doubt and unbelief. Devil, you are coming down because I have a better word over my life. Amen. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, we come into agreement with the scripture today. Lord, let our lives not be ruled by anything but you. Let us not be those that are shepherded by the spirit of fear, but Lord, let us know the voice of the good shepherd who speaks a better word, that calls us to lay down in the green pastures, that satisfies our soul, that protects us. But Lord, we know that today that comes from a place of a relationship and a closeness with you. So, Father, we make a decision of heart today to dwell with you, to dwell in the secret place so that we can find the protection that you have for us. So, God, we thank you for this word. We say yes and amen. Let it be so. And we thank you for what you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, we give God a hand clap. Amen this morning. Amen.